place else you'd rather be than right here, right now. When it's too tough for them, it's just right.
What's up, Bills Mafia? It's Joe Marino from the Draft Network, and I am your host of Locked On Bills. Happy Monday to you. It's Combine Week, folks. I'll be heading out to Indianapolis in the morning to cover the 2019 NFL Scouting Combine. Very much looking forward to chatting with Buffalo Bills head coach Sean McDermott, general manager Brandon Bean. I'll be at both of their press conferences and certainly have some things that I want to ask, and then obviously reporting back to you guys on what we learn and what we can take away from those pressers. Today on the podcast, we have a special guest, Seth Galina. He's a college football writer and coach, and he recently did a study on every throw, every play the Bills ran on offense last year, and that obviously is focused heavily on Josh Allen. And so I know that you guys are hungry for Josh Allen discussion. You make that very clear to me whenever I put out the Twitter Tuesday request for topics and takes and questions. And so with him doing that work and me liking Seth a good bit as a follow and really respecting his knowledge of the game, I wanted to bring him on to give you his insight on Josh Allen, how he looked as a rookie, and how things can evolve moving forward. So let's get to that interview. All right, guys, I am joined now by football writer and coach Seth Galina. You can follow him on Twitter at Seth Galina. And Seth has spent, it seems like, the last 2+ weeks ripping through Josh Allen's tape from 2018, his rookie season, and has put together a massive tweet thread on Twitter.com. And you can go to his page, his Twitter profile, at Seth Galina, and you can take a look at this Twitter Twitter thread on all 22 plays of Josh Allen. And so as I saw him doing this work, I reached out to him and I said, "You want to come on Locked On Bills and talk about what you've learned here?" And he's been gracious enough to do that, even though he's battling some sickness. So, Seth, thanks for giving us some of your time. Looking forward to your thoughts on Allen.
Thanks. No problem. I think the sickness came from having to watch all 22 of the Bills' skill position players, to tell you the truth.
Yeah, you know what? That's that's going to have to be mentioned here right off the bat, because certainly, you know, I felt like earlier in the season, I actually wrote an article. I don't know if you read this or not, but I wrote an article about how Josh Allen was limiting a bad supporting cast. And I think by the end of the year, it kind of flipped. So one thing that Seth, to let you know, I do this thing every Tuesday on this podcast called Twitter Tuesday. And every week, everybody's like, "I want you to talk about Josh Allen." So the Bills Mafia is hungry for Josh Allen conversation. And so, you know, I don't want to bring just anyone on here to talk. I know that you've actually done the work. You've watched every play, right?
Of yeah, the I mean, offense. I did every play, the runs too, which are also, I think, a fascinating aspect to his game. But yeah, the runs, the passes, the sacks, the touchdowns, the interceptions, the overthrows, the underthrows, the in-stride throws, all of them.
All right. So we have a very informed mind here. And I've told Seth to be honest here. And so I'm certain that he will. And so the first thing I want to do is hear from you about what you thought about Josh Allen entering the draft. Strip your mind of anything that you learned after he was selected. But what were your thoughts on him entering the process?
Well, I think I was in the, you know, I wonder whether it became a majority of people who were like, how is this guy getting first round grades? And we kind of understood it as, well, the NFL likes these tall kids who have big arms. I went the route where, well, you know, his college production was really not that great. His junior college production was also not very good. And so I didn't see it. Clearly the tools were there, but I didn't really see the point of drafting a guy this high if there was no production, i.e. no ability to get the ball to his receivers, whether that was because his reads were not very good or because the ball placement was not very good. It just didn't make sense to me that he would go this high. And then for a team to trade up for him, you know, kind of exacerbated things a bit for me.
Yeah, I was a fellow Josh Allen skeptic entering the NFL. I thought the traits weren't hard to identify, but, you know, you had mentioned that the production was bad, but also whenever at Wyoming, they played against Power Five teams. he's got substantially worse. And so there was plenty of warts on his film. And, you know, it felt like he was more of a developmental guy that you wouldn't take in the top 10. But here we are. The Bills did that. And we have a season under our belt. After watching and studying every throw that Josh made as a rookie, what stood out to you most in a positive way about Allen?
Well, definitely that he progressed a little bit. I mean, you can't sit there in an NFL pocket and not get better, which he did. So that's, you know, kudos to him. He got better. He when the pocket, you know, by the end of the year, when the pocket was clean for him, which it wasn't that often, but when the pocket was clean for him, you could see him being able to go through his reads and not panic too much. You know, early in the year, there was a lot of panic when his first read wasn't there. That kind of, it kind of slowed down a bit for him, and I really thought that was nice. Obviously, the down-the-field throws were spectacular. And the funny thing was, early in the year before the injury, he would underthrow a lot of those balls, and then whatever happened, you know, during that off time, he came back and he was letting them rip, and he was hitting receivers in stride down the field, and it was really nice to watch.
Yeah, definitely encouraging to see him get better, because I thought his first run there before he got injured was really concerning. You know, kind of all my worst fears about what he would be in the NFL were revealed very quickly. And I feel like there were so many things that really mattered when he came back from injury. First of all, just being having some time to actually observe, right? Not have to play. He only sat for a half, right? Where Nathan Peterman started the first half. And he came in, and then he had an opportunity to actually observe and learn. And they brought in Matt Barkley and brought in Derek Anderson. And it seemed like all of that really helped. Plus, obviously, getting rid of Kelvin Benjamin and Andre Holmes and replacing those with guys that can actually separate, and Isaiah McKenzie and Robert Foster really helped. But, yeah, definitely good to see him grow and progress and finish the season on a high note. So with that said, let's kind of flip gears here. What stood out to you most as of things that for Josh Allen to find success, he's going to have to grow and improve upon?
I mean, the placement is kind of the biggest problem. You know, when I say placement, I mean accuracy with the football. He doesn't have horrible mechanics when I watch him. He's not, you know, sidearming the ball. He's not, you know, not giving enough follow through or whatever. Those are kind of okay with him. He just can't hit an open receiver often enough. And that's going to be really, really challenging, because at the end of the day, even if you make the right reads, these windows aren't open that for very long in the NFL. So he's got to be able to keep, there's a lot of, especially early in the season, and he got better. What the Bills like to do was throw a lot of, they would put two receivers out there, usually to the weak side of the field, the short side of the field, have the first receiver run just a run of the mill go route, and have the second receiver run an out route. And what was happening was teams would leave their cornerback low, thinking that they would kind of what we call trap the out route. So when that 5-yard out route comes, it runs right into the corner. So if that's happening, then there's a window to throw the go route before the safety could come over. And the Bills wanted to run that the whole season. It was one of their top concepts, especially when they went into empty. And you saw early in the year, it was there, and Allen wanted to throw it, but he kept throwing it to where the safety was coming from. Instead of keeping the receiver to the sideline, he would throw it inside, and you know, the safety was there, and he'd make a play on the ball, or he would have to, you know, hold the ball and then take a sack or things like that. So I think that's the placement is the absolute main thing that he needs to change. His pocket presence, I also thought, was not very good. There was a lot of times where he wouldn't step up in the pocket properly while keeping what I call the passer profile. So when I say passer profile, I mean that position you see of quarterbacks where they're in the pocket, their shoulders are parallel to the sideline so they can make any throw right now. And what Allen would do was when the pressure came where he had to move around the pocket, he would turn his shoulders and start running towards the line of scrimmage or running out of the pocket. And what that does is all of a sudden you're cutting your field of vision down, and you're also cutting your accuracy down because it's harder to throw accurately on the run. So instead of, if he could just kind of calm down, keep his mechanics together as he's moving around the pocket. Well, he doesn't have to run around. He just has to take a couple steps one way, a couple steps back, forward, to get around a defender. He'll be able to find more open receivers, because I found that he missed open receivers when he didn't see them because he was running around like a kind of like a chicken without his head.
Yeah, and certainly plenty of situations there where the pocket was clean and he would still get a little rattled and flee. And so, yeah, that it's not necessarily the mobility, but the ability to navigate the pocket, keep his eyes downfield and put himself in a position to make accurate throws. Seth, whenever I thought Josh made his most inaccurate throws, I felt like he was overstriding, really opening up that front foot too much and causing some inconsistency with his release points. When you talk about his placement as something that needs to improve, what are you seeing that leads to inaccurate throws, and what does he need to do to correct that?
He does overstride sometimes. I didn't notice that. He also will. So he's so you know, physically gifted that sometimes it doesn't even matter. You know, he reminds me. I mean, I should say this. You know, another guy who was like this is Cam Newton and maybe Russell Wilson, who they're so physically gifted that sometimes they look a little awkward when they throw, but it kind of gets the job done. Definitely in the Russell Wilson case, it does. So I think the overstriding, sometimes you'll see him, even on deep throws, he will sidearm it. That's kind of what I felt happens to quarterbacks when they take that too big of a step forward, is they get a little off kilter and then the elbow starts to get a little lower. But you'll also notice some throws where he kind of throws sidearm, and I think I put one of them in my thread about him, where he's basically sidearm and he's throwing it 45 yards down the field to a receiver. Like, he's not even missing him by that much. So, like, there's that some freakish ability there that I think is really fascinating.
Yeah, and that, I mean, yeah. Go ahead.
Hey, well, no, yeah, that's it.
The thing with Josh Allen's arm strength is everybody kind of likes to poke fun. I mean, it's so good, right? It's a rocket launcher, like all the great things you can say about an arm. He has it. But what really matters about his arm strength is how much it forces defenses to defend, right? Like, he can challenge deep parts of the field that most quarterbacks can't challenge. And I think it opens up things so much for the offense. And I look forward to Brian Daboll and Josh Allen being able to work closely together going into year two and being able to really effectively challenge all the space that I think is afforded to them based on just Josh Allen's arm strength.
And I think the Josh Allen Daboll connection is super interesting, because I don't think, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think the Bills really had plans for him to be the starting quarterback for, you know, let's say week two to week six, like he was. Yeah. Or week to week eight or whatever it was. So this was not the Josh Allen offense that Daboll was running. Now, with that said, an offense is an offense. It's not like there's a million different things you can do with it. But there were still things that you watched and you said, you know, maybe there are better uses of Josh Allen's time. So now with a full offseason where Josh Allen is definitely going to be the starter going into the year, Daboll can kind of cook up some nice things for him.
Yeah, I think that's a very important part of the discussion about Josh Allen and his rookie season, is that you're exactly right, Seth. They went into the year with AJ McCarron, Nate Peterman, and Josh Allen all in contention for that starting gig. And you kind of felt like they wanted AJ McCarron to be the guy, and then it just never happened. And so you have all these months of prep, and you have reps being split three ways, and you know, it's Josh's first exposure to the NFL, and he's not getting consistent reps, and certainly his strengths are very different than Nate Peterman's and AJ McCarron's. And they even went with the decision to start Nate Peterman week one. And so, yeah, it did give you every reason to believe that this was not in the cards for him to play so soon. However, they had to. And so I think you saw a lot of him kind of playing through and failing forward a little bit, hopefully the first part of the season. And then the light bulb kind of came on a little bit there towards the end. You mentioned we were talking about Brian Daboll and his scheme and how it meshes with Josh Allen. What were some of your takeaways from Daboll's scheme and how it evolved throughout the course of the season, and maybe some things you're looking for next year to kind of take things to the next level?
I think the main things that I really liked were, as the season went on, like you were saying, that, you know, with Allen, there's almost no limit to how deep he can throw the football. So you might as well have an offense that's suited for that. And they had some really nice concepts that they used, I found, to get receivers deep down the field. There was one in particular that almost was an automatic touchdown when they ran it. And it was not a good play when other Bills quarterbacks ran it, but it was almost like a double post from one side. So two posts from one side of the field that really kind of has to force the coverage off. And then they would almost leak a receiver from the other side of the field across the field deep. And it was open all the time. And they must have scored four or five touchdowns in the last six games just on that play, and had a few big plays off it too. So I thought there were some nice things that he did, not necessarily just with that play, but other downfield shots. There were other things where, you know, like I said, with that, well, maybe this wasn't Josh Allen's offense. You know, Daboll came from, obviously he spent a year at Alabama, but before that he was with the Patriots. So you saw the Bills go in empty formations a lot. And I'm a big fan of empty. As a Saints fan, Breeze is the best in the league at running empty. But what they did was, with Daboll, they used a lot of the Patriots concept. So you heard about it in the Super Bowl a lot, that Haas concept that the Patriots used on their last drive. So that was a big part of the Bills' offense this year. And I don't think it suited a player as young as Allen. So I think there could have been some changes. They went to that well a lot, that empty well a lot. And I don't think it really, really fit what Allen was capable of. There were just some routes in that kind of package that they ran out there that he just didn't throw. So the quarterback's not throwing it, if he's not comfortable throwing these type of routes, then just get him out of there. And they kept kind of going and calling the same concepts again. They're not bad concepts, but if the quarterback doesn't feel like he can do them and you're not seeing him do them on film, then maybe a revamping of the system is necessary. The other thing was, and you saw it sometimes, was the quarterback running aspect. I didn't think there was enough of that. Now, I understand if you don't want to get your quarterback hurt, but Josh Allen is an electrifying runner. Absolutely electrifying, long legs, powerful. So I was surprised that even as the season went on, there wasn't an emphasis on zone read, on, you know, all those stuff. You know, we can get into the details, but all that stuff where, you know, let's say the Texans run it with Deshaun Watson, or definitely the Ravens run it with Lamar Jackson, all those quarterback runs. So I thought that's another aspect where, hey, you never know. Maybe this offseason they say, hey, it's time to break it out and we can have another piece of the puzzle added on.
Yeah, it's interesting because Josh Allen's such a great runner and he had several hundred-yard games, but the reality was the Bills didn't call a lot of design QB runs. I mean, it was him taking off, just literally taking off at times, and he found production. And so, you know, I think it's all about Josh Allen and why he's difficult to defend for defenses, and that's a part of it. And so, you know, you could be afraid of it and be concerned about the hits and those types of things that come, or you can just realize this is part of what makes this player good and difficult to defend. And I think you have to embrace that to an extent. It felt like, you know, I think one thing with Josh, and I think this is going to be a stat that he'll lead the NFL in every year, is, you know, average depth of target. It was just much further than anyone else. To me, I would have loved to see more quick game and more simple stuff kind of sprinkled in. And I spoke with Phoebe Schechter on the podcast last Thursday. She was a Buffalo Bills coaching intern last year. And she said there was just times where Josh wants to push everything down the field and it's not there. And at the same time, there's a running back right in front of him. Just more checkdowns and more simple completions. And, you know, you hear quarterback coaches and offensive coordinators all the time talk about getting guys in rhythm and just getting some completions. I feel like to complement those deep shots, having more quick game and just route combinations that are going to free a guy on a slant or get a running back out of the backfield, that's something that I'd like to see more in year two and still have the vertical shots, but have a more balanced passing attack that challenges the entire field more effectively. You think that's something Josh can do, or is that just kind of a product of, hey, it was a three guy race going into the season and reps and just the volume of plays at their disposal, given the overall infrastructure of the offense, or is this just not his game?
It felt to me like at one point Dable just said, we just can't call this for this guy anymore. We want to, because every quarterback coach and offensive coordinator wants to call quick game stuff, mm-hmm. but he just wasn't pulling the trigger enough on them. And they just said, no, we're just going to call deep shots the whole game, which I think is fascinating. And I think that NFL teams need to throw the ball deeper than they do. But I wonder how sustainable an offense is if it's just going to be deep balls. And deep balls off play action are great too. But if it's that's all you have, is that enough? Can you complement it with a quick game? Remains to be seen. Because again, with quick game stuff, you got to be super accurate. You know, there's no receiver adjustment in the air because that ball's coming on a line. So can Josh Allen do that? It definitely wasn't his game in college, and it wasn't his game in his first year in the NFL. But again, it's first year in the NFL. He's got a full offseason to work on that stuff. And he hopefully will have better players around him that can separate, and he'll feel more comfortable throwing those under 8-yard routes.
So, I mean, right now, Josh Allen is kind of a deep shot guy, take off with the football. Obviously, we've talked a lot about more intermediate, short, quick passing, maybe some more designed runs. But, I mean, when you think about the overall package with Allen, how does his game need to evolve for him for it to be sustainable? Because I think there's a really, like, everyone wants to point to, well, he had a 51% completion percentage and just different traditional stats that I just don't think, based on the way Josh plays, are really going to be good measuring sticks of the type of player he is. So how much does he need to evolve for him to have sustained success in the NFL?
Well, like you said, the completion percentage thing is interesting, because if he's taking all these shots down the field, then there's no quarterback in the world who's going to have a high completion percentage. But the problem is, if there's nothing else to complement it, then mm-hmm. you're in too many third and sevens. So, yeah, okay, people will say, yeah, they got to get the running game going. I'm not a big believer in running the football at the NFL level, at the professional level. So he needs to find somewhere else to get yards. Because, look, now the offensive line wasn't very good, but, you know, they had an elite athlete at running back. So there was that, and the running game still wasn't very good. I think that there needs to be – and I don't even know if it's intermediate. It might even just be quick game. While I did think he progressed in the intermediate game, and there were some throws I felt later in the year where he was able to anticipate people coming open, which I really liked. I thought those were really nice throws later in the year, where by the time he's throwing the football, if you pause the tape, the receiver isn't technically open, but he'll throw him open over the middle, you know, behind a linebacker or safety or something like that, which I really liked. But I do believe in the benefits of a quick game to at least keep the sticks moving a little bit. Because if he's in a lot of third and sevens, which he was this year, because they, from what I understand, the Bills were a run-run-pass type of team, it's not going to end well.
Yeah, so more favorable. I mean, certainly they can create more favorable passing opportunities. So, yeah, I mean, I'm with you. I think there needs to be more evolution with the scheme and with what Josh Allen does. And but at the same time, I just feel like those traditional measures of quarterbacks are going to be just going to be different with him. He's just a different type of quarterback. So when you think about the Bills and moving forward and next season, we talked a lot about scheme evolution, but I think we can all agree that the Bills need to get better everywhere offensively. I think legitimately there's not one position, wide receiver, running back, tight end, that doesn't need to get better with better personnel. And so with, you know, the Bills have the third most cap space in the NFL, 10 draft picks. What are some of your priorities? You know, I mean, you could just say get better around him, but what specifically would be the most important for the Bills to improve to get the most out of Josh Allen going forward?
I think definitely if we're talking O-line, their guard play was pretty bad this year. And at least not getting an interior rush, half the time that they drop back would be good. So at least he can kind of sit in the pocket a little longer. with the receivers, to me, it doesn't matter. As it's just someone who can separate, whether it's a guy who can separate, who's like a big physical receiver who can separate and box out defenders on shorter patterns, or if it's a guy that can separate down the field. They had a few guys who I felt, you know, Foster looked pretty good down the field, even Zay Jones down the field. But anybody, just somebody to give him the opportunity to kind of target a guy. You know, again, I go back to looking at the Saints. Drew Brees is an incredible quarterback, but he does have a crutch, and that's Michael Thomas, because he knows he can put the ball wherever. And every quarterback needs that. As good as you are at reading a defense and understanding pre-snap where everybody's going, it's a hard position, and you want to have a guy you can lean on all the time. And they tried that with Kelvin Benjamin at the beginning. And I thought all NFL receivers could do something right, and this guy was one of the worst I've ever seen in my life. It was horrible. And they tried to do stuff for Kelvin Benjamin to make him look good, and he still didn't look good. And I feel for Josh Allen in that sense.
So what type of receiver? I mean, you mentioned separation guys, you mentioned kind of power forward guys. I mean, when you think, I don't know how much work you've done in the draft or if you're familiar with some of the free agents, but are there guys in either, you know, whether it's Tyrell Williams or DK Metcalf or Calvin Harmon, or if it's Golden Tate or John Brown, are there any of these names that pop for you that say, hey, get this guy for Josh Allen?
I haven't done enough work on the draft or free agency to really say more than get a good receiver and figure out the best way to use that receiver to help Josh Allen. They could use anybody. It could be a tight end. They could go with one of these athletic tight ends that are coming out. You know, the two guys from Iowa are really nice. It for me doesn't matter. They have so many picks. They have so much cap space. Find somebody that could help the guy when all else is failing. We'll get open for him. I don't know who that guy is. I really don't.
Yeah, well,
but there's someone out there.
It's interesting. You and I have a lot of similar ideas, because I talked at some point last week on the podcast about, you know, what is the most important thing for Josh Allen. And I said it was getting a center. And I think you go after Mitch Morse or Matthew Paradis and have that guy that is going to make sure everything is square up front. That's going to make all the line calls and slide the protections and allow for Josh Allen to focus on the secondary. And you mentioned interior offense. Yeah. Go ahead. No, I'd like to hear.
Yeah, that was one of the things that popped in my head just now. There was him being a rookie. There was a lot of times, I think it was, I want to say the first Miami game, or maybe one of the Jets games, I'm not sure anymore, where they kept the defense kept running the same blitz over and over and over again. And it worked every time, because Allen, is just not ready to make a bunch of calls and to kind of see a defense as he's lining up and say, hey, wait a minute, I've seen this before, I know it's about to happen, let me protect myself with a line call. Or B, having the center that can do it for him, who's, you know, a veteran guy who can make all those calls and help him out that way. He'll learn that. Josh Allen will learn that, but he's definitely not there yet as a rookie. Kind of, they all are like that.
Yeah, and so the thought is you get a guy that can let Josh focus on the back seven or the back six, and that's going to take a lot off of him. And as well, yeah, obviously getting a dude at receiver, however they get that. And I think there's a good chance that Foster and Jones are two of the top three receivers. But, yeah, getting a guy that they can funnel, like legitimately funnel the passing game through, that's not Kelvin Benjamin.
Can I be the host here for a second and ask you who that guy is? Let's say we're talking just receiver, and then we'll say just tight end.
It's I love DK Metcalf. You know, I think that's
he's the guy.
You know, you talk about the highest ceiling of an offensive player in this class. I just think it's him, and so I do think that he's a true three level threat that you can throw it to a spot, and he's got every ability in the world to go get the football. And I'm getting nervous when I think about him after he blows up the combine this week. We're going to start talking about him at three to the Jets, and as high or as low as the Lions at eight. Bills are picking at nine. And right. I know I just feel like that's going to be difficult. And I don't see the Bills moving up. I mean, I love Kelvin Harmon. I think that he would help this team in a lot of ways. I think he's got more burst than people give him credit for. He's an alpha. I mean, he's a true power. Like his play strength is blue chip, and his ability to clear press coverage is blue chip. He wins in the air, and I like him a ton, and he blocks, but I mean, he's not DK. Right. And so, you know, like I start with, you know, John Brown, they tried to go after him last year. He didn't come. You know, Tyrell Williams is the most interesting, but do you have to pay him like 12 a year? And I know the Bills have the money to do that, and they probably need to, but you know, nothing gets me more excited than DK Metcalf when you talk about getting Josh Allen a weapon. Because he's all of the stuff. He's the vertical separator, he's the size guy, he's the above the rim guy, he's the take a quick pass and create. I mean, he's all that. And I don't know that I get that the warm fuzzies about any other player in free agency or the draft that can be that player. Tight end, you know, I think that they have to get a veteran. And right now the only tight end on the roster is Jason Kroom, who's a converted receiver from Tennessee, struggled as a rookie. He came on and flashed last year, and I think he can be your number two tight end. That's a move piece. But, and I love this tight end class, but I don't necessarily think you get quick returns on tight ends a lot of times. And so that's why I think the Bills have to make a play for one of these very middling average veterans like Max Williams or Nick Boyle or Jesse James, those types of players. And then you invest on day two in Irv Smith or a Jay Sternberger or an Isaac Nauta to kind of be the future. But I think that's how I'm more comfortable talking about how to fix the tight end thing than I am wide receiver, because just it's a huge need. And DK is the one that really moves the needle for me. And I don't know if he's going to be available.
Right. But if you could get a DK, then all of a sudden that quick game aspect of your offense really becomes interesting, because like you said, he's a guy who can take a quick pass and go the distance, which is something we did not see at all for the Bills this year. You had a lot of big plays, but they were all plays that were
yard
errors. Ball in the air for 30 yards, 45 yards, 50 yards, you know, caught on the run. There weren't like slants that were taken or screens that were taken. Your screen game was horrible also.
Yeah. Yeah. It just was. And I mean, why you watch screens and they just not set it up well? I mean, did that personnel just didn't have guys that can create? Like, what do you think it was about that screen game?
I really don't know. And, you know, I think that, you know, LeSean McCoy is such a great screen back from, you know, you just look at his athletic traits. He should be a great screen back. I don't know. I really wish I had an answer for you, but it was bad. It was just bad.
Yeah.
And the other thing that would be nice just to have, if, you know, Foster and Jones continue their development also with Allen, one of the things that I noticed teams doing to Allen, and it's kind of disrespectful, and I wrote about this a little bit, was when they played coverages where they had kind of a free player on defense. So if you're playing, you know, man coverage with a free safety, he's usually supposed to be in the middle of the field, protect against post routes and stuff. What defenses did to him, and I know the Packers did this and a few other teams, wherever Josh Allen looked right away, that free player busted his ass to get to that side of the field.
Mm.
Because he didn't feel like Allen was going to be able to say, okay, I don't like my first read here on this side or my second read. Let me look back to my third read, who's on the other side of the field, who's now open because there's no safety. So I think that having a deeper stable of receivers, all of a sudden, you know, can you do that? Even if the quarterback isn't great, can you do that and leave guys kind of one-on-one open down the field because their safety went, you know, wandering to the other side of the field? Allen will get better at seeing that and immediately going to his backside, but having someone he trusts on the backside will help too.
For sure. And yes. And I think that's where the personnel getting better, the scheme evolving, Josh becoming more comfortable is where you hope to see that type of stuff take off starting next season. Seth, I kind of want to finish on this. I mean, we talked about, you and I both, skeptical, Josh Allen's skeptics entering the league. We've watched a full season. How has your opinion changed in your outlook of Josh moving forward changed? With obviously a ton of new information in an entire season, 320 throws to evaluate.
I think this might be a little bit of Stockholm syndrome, because when you watch him nonstop like I did, you start to love the guy. And I would get pissed off when he would throw an interception, when he would miss an open receiver, when he would make a good read but then miss an open receiver, and I would, you know, pound my my desk. I was so upset. I think he was better than I thought he would be. You know, we knew that the college production wasn't there. The college production usually translates to NFL production, so, you know, a little nervous. He was better than that. There's stuff that he does that not a lot of other quarterbacks can do, and you can see a path for him to kind of go down that could lead to success. With that said, at the end of the day, overall, he wasn't very good. He missed a lot of receivers that were open. He missed a lot of, you know, open in terms, missing them in terms of not putting the ball on them, missing them in terms of not seeing them even though they were open. So there's a lot that he needs to work on. And it's unsurprising because of where he was in college, you know. And I think it's the opposite of kind of a guy like Lamar Jackson, who probably had about the same type of season where I thought that Lamar Jackson came a little more ready-made for the NFL, and he disappointed me tremendously. Whereas Josh Allen, I thought, was not ready-made for the NFL, and he impressed me a little bit. So there's stuff to take from there. I don't know if it's enough, but there is some stuff to take from there.
Have you done work on the other rookies besides Lamar and Josh Allen?
Mostly just Lamar and Josh Allen. I'm going to start doing the rookies in the following weeks.
So make sure you're following Seth. Are you planning on doing, you know, Sam Darnold and Josh Rosen?
The plan is to do all the rookies, and then check myself into a mental asylum the day after. So we'll see how that goes. But yeah, that's the plan.
Yeah, guys, and that's what I like so much about following Seth on Twitter, at Seth Galina, that's G-A-L-I-N-A, is because he does so much All-22 work, and he shares film clips, and I learn a lot kind of keeping track of what he's saying, and it opens my eyes to things. So if you like learning about football, which I hope you do, you make sure you are following Seth on Twitter. Seth, really appreciate your insight on the podcast today, and for doing the Lord's work of 320 pass reps of Josh Allen and sharing your wisdom with us today.
Thanks. It's been a pleasure, Joe.
Thanks, Seth.